All right, we will get to the latest on the Bill Belichick saga in just a second. I love the Belichick story. Breaking news on the TV screen here. Yeah, breaking news, and I think the Rockets are a tangent to this story. The breaking news is that Giannis Antetokounmpo is open to exploring best fits outside of Milwaukee, according to sources. They've got an article up on ESPN. They're talking about it on Get Up right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo to explore best fits outside of Milwaukee without going through the NBA standings and cherry-picking teams that are good fits for, you know, the full list of teams that would be good fits for Giannis Antetokounmpo, because there's two things that I think you probably need to be. One, a contender if Giannis is on your team, and two, a team that has enough assets to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo to where the Bucks are going to say yes to trading him to your team. I think the Rockets check both of those boxes. I mean, I think that's an easy one. They're the two. They were the two seed in the West. I know they got knocked out by the Warriors, but they won 52 games this year. And I, without looking at every, you know, without pocket watching all the other teams that have hoarded draft picks and young players to make a move like this, I have a hard time believing, especially after tonight, if that lottery pick the Rockets have gets bumped up into the top four. Right now, it's forecasted to be ninth. That there's a team out there that has more that they could potentially give up if they wanted to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I think the Rockets are on the short list of teams that are the best fits for him. I guess the question to you, Seth, and the audience would be, right, depending on the price, you know, is Giannis the guy that best scratches the Rockets where they itch? A bad shooting team with a bad half-court offense. He's not a good three-point shooter, but he sure is a guy that would attract a ton of attention and maybe open things up for guys. I guess the question is, what would you have to give up to get him? He's 30 years old, right?
I take with a grain of salt Rafael Stone saying, hey, you know, basically we're just going to run it back. Don't expect fireworks or what have you. That's just him being a good GM. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he means it genuinely, but even if they have plans of being super aggressive, you don't put it out there that you're going to be super aggressive.
Right.
You don't look like the schmuck that just won the lottery. I was like, I need to blow this money on anything and everything.
Yep.
They're just, he's playing it close to the vest.
Yeah.
So I think there's still very much a possibility that they do make an aggressive move.
Yeah, I think so too. Is Giannis the move? The Athletic had an article last week. We just didn't get to it, but it's relevant now because, again, the breaking news, Giannis Antetokounmpo open to exploring best fits outside Bucks. That's just coming down here in the last few minutes from sources telling ESPN's Shams Charania that that's the case. There was a trade. They did one of those articles, Seth, where they had Giannis going to like four or five different teams and what would the trade look like. And this particular trade had Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, and Jalen Green in it, and some of those Phoenix draft picks, and Cam Whitmore. And, and I know you need enough guys in there to match up salaries and whatnot, but any trade for any of these guys that are available that involves all three of Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, and Jalen Green, I am hanging up the phone right away. And the guy in the article, I forget who it was, analyzing the trade, because they had one guy proposing the trade and then the other guy reacting to it. It was a two-person article. And the other guy reacting to it is saying, I might need a little bit more if I'm Milwaukee. I'm like, dude, screw you. I don't know who you are, but screw you. Yeah.
I feel like just judging from our listeners and from social media and whatnot, I think immediately after Game 7, people were either adamantly down on Jalen Green and he was the worst person in the world, or people were staunch defenders of Jalen Green.
Yeah.
I think everything has kind of simmered down a little bit, where you have to recognize and realize that, A, he is a good he's a really good basketball player. Mm-hmm. Is he ever going to be a superstar? I'm skeptical. But he is still a really good basketball player, and there are other teams that are going to look at him and say, yeah, he's a really good basketball player, and he's 22 years old, and there's still upside there. So there's value in Jalen Green, but I also get that, which also means that, yeah, you don't just give him up for nothing,
right?
And you don't recognize that he was a huge part of you getting where you did in the regular season and in the playoffs.
For sure. Yeah, I know you could argue he was their best player. I don't think he's their best player, but I think you can make the argument in the regular season that he was their best player for sure. So these should absolutely be phone calls that are taking place between the Rockets and the Bucks. They should absolutely be discussing this. Anything that includes Amen Thompson is a hang up the phone for me. I think he's untouchable. You know, there are reports that the Rockets view him as such as well. Rafael Stone was asked about that at his press conference last week. And he said, nobody's untouchable. I'm not even untouchable. I believe that that might be posturing, you know, just to, you know, leave everything on the table. It's easy enough to hang up on a GM without telling all of us they hung up on a GM when Amen Thompson's name came up.
I think one thing that we've learned about the dynamic with Udoka and Rafael Stone and everything else is that it certainly seems like Udoka wasn't crazy about the prospect of bringing James Harden back.
Without a doubt.
I think it's Udoka's a coach where he cares about the culture, and it's not just lip service. Every coach talks about culture, but some actually live and breathe it. And I think with Udoka, he's going to have a lot of influence over a guy like Amen Thompson leaving. It's not just the basketball upside. It's the type of player he is, mm-hmm. and just the scrappiness that he has about him that makes it even that much more so. It's the culture side of things that really makes it feel like Amen Thompson would be untouchable.
Yeah, I think so too. People are texting in, Amen better not be involved in any trade. That's how I feel. I feel Amen Thompson has top 10 player in the NBA potential, and I don't think anybody else on the roster does right now. Maybe Jalen Green has that potential. He was a number 2 overall pick, but I'm with you, Texter. How are you guys feeling about that? Text in 713-572-4610. Are you in on some Giannis talks? And if so, who are you willing to give up to make that happen? Someone texts in, Giannis would be a terrible fit. We already have no spacing. He'd make it worse. I don't think he'd make it worse. And he's not a guy whose shooting cures your spacing issues, but he sure is a guy that you have to devote a lot of resources to if you're a defensive team trying to defend a team with Giannis on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between when you're playing with two big men in there and one of them is Steven Adams. Yes, Steven Adams brings a lot to the table in a lot of ways, but you're not going to have the same types of spacing issues that you do.
Right.
But I think the overall and relevant point is they can't just bring Giannis in and also not try to get better shooters as well. But is that something that you do on the fringes? Is that something you do, that are less heralded moves, but you can bring in guys and develop guys that are just going to make you a better shooting team? Giannis isn't the only thing that needs to happen for this team to become championship caliber.
Yeah, someone's saying Kelly Eco has an article in The Athletic that says the Rockets are out on Devin Booker and Zion. Devin Booker's due for a major extension, I think the hope is that Jalen Green turns into what Devin Booker has become for the Phoenix Suns. I don't know why anybody would trade for Zion. Now, I'm not just talking about the Rockets. I'm talking about any NBA team. If you trade for Zion, it means you just don't have NBA League Pass in your city and you're able to keep in tune, or the internet, and you're able to keep in tune with what's good. Zion is injured all the time. He's fat. He's got off-the-court drama. Like, he's never been part of any sort of winning in the NBA.
He is precisely the kind of guy that gets a big bag from a team that doesn't actually know what they're doing.
That's a bag getter right there. Talked about this earlier with the NFL. Zion is a bag getter. And look, when he's on the court, which is a huge all caps size 72 font, when he's on the court, he has some highlight plays. He averages well over 20 a game. I watch his teams enough to know that there's a winning version of 25 points a game and there's a losing version of 25 points a game, and he is a losing version of 25 points a game.
Zion Williamson is a guy that I look at and I'm like, well, I feel the fact that he's not a defensive end in the NFL right now is just evidence that that's exactly the fact that he didn't choose football over basketball is exactly go. All the same character traits that led him to being whatever the hell he is
he's
now.
Soft. Yeah. And Houston, he wouldn't do any better with the eating here than he's doing in New Orleans right now.
My same theory behind Aaron Judge as well, by the way.
What's
the
that?
Fact that he's not actually in the NFL right now is
soft.
Exactly the same reason that he's not any good in the playoffs.
That's right. He's soft. You're just a little soft.
He can feast on bad pitching in the regular season, but no.
Nope. I don't get the Zion thing, man. Do not trade. If you trade for Zion, if Zion Williamson is the one they go in on these resources for, you are shutting the window, man. You are closing the window before it even got open. Someone says, I would add Şengün to the untouchable list. I think he's close. I would listen to deals that involved Alper and Şengün. I mean, they would have to be Giannis, and it would have to be, I don't even know if KD would be, like, Şengün is pretty close to, and I was very critical. We were both critical of certain aspects of Şengün in this playoff series, but I think his future is really, really bright.
Yeah, and I think that's why I hate these discussions about who's touchable and who's untouchable. It's kind of like when you have arguments about who should be in the Hall of Fame. It always ends up feeling like you're saying a guy that you really like is somehow trash.
Yeah.
Because he shouldn't be in the NFL Hall of Fame or so. Likewise, yeah, being untouchable, just because you're touchable doesn't mean that you don't have great value.
Correct. Yep.
It's just you're a little bit more touchable.
That's it. That's it. No trade. People are texting and they don't even want to trade. Run the same team back. I'm a little more open to the trade thing than that, but I get
it. They've got to be able to score more. Shooters, but just more scoring in general.
They need shooting. I mean, if they don't make any moves, that's a big bet that Reed Sheppard all of a sudden is going to become a big part of this team because he's a guy who's got that type of shooting potential. Okay, so Seth, North Carolina is denying Pablo Torre's report, the University of North Carolina, that Jordan Hudson, the girlfriend of Bill Belichick, is banned from their football facility. They put out a staunch denial of that on Friday. That was a big story on Friday, was that Bill Belichick's girlfriend, who has been as intrusive as it gets when it comes to all things North Carolina football, she's out on the practice field, literally running onto the field to talk to him during practices. We know that CBS Sunday morning interview that Bill Belichick did, she was reportedly even more intrusive than the interview portrayed her as. She reportedly walked out of the room at one point for 30 minutes, and they had to delay continuing the interview.
Okay, this staunch denial, I don't know if I would call it a staunch denial, because they said, well, Jordan Hudson is not an employee at the university or Carolina Athletics. She is welcome to the Carolina football facilities.
Yeah.
Jordan will continue to manage all activities related to Coach Belichick's personal brand outside of his responsibilities for Carolina football and the university.
Yeah.
So I
clarifying.
She was very much a part of internal UNC documents and what have you. Mm-hmm. There's no sketchiness to that reporting. Those are out there by the public information acts and what have you. So I think that there is a line there. They've set a line there. Like, hey, listen, she's his girlfriend. What are you going to do? And sure, she can come by and hang out, but she's not a part of any of the official actual football stuff.
Yeah, I guess the part they're denying is that she's banned from the facility. And when they say she is welcome to the Carolina football facilities, they said that in that statement there. Now, Mike Florio points out something interesting, which is that Bill Belichick's buyout from his contract right now, as we sit May 12th, is $10 million. If Belichick wants to get, if Belichick were to get offered an NFL job, I know it's not happening, he would have to pay $10 million to get out of his deal to go do that. That number, that figure drops from $10 million to $1 million on June 1st. So on June 1st, Bill Belichick all of a sudden is very, his situation potentially, if he were to want to leave, gets very, very fluid. I mean, he's probably already made $1 million.
Yeah.
He's probably got $1 million from North Carolina in the bank already, you know?
I don't think, I would be really surprised if he did that. I think that, for one, a lot of this stuff with him and Jordan Hudson has been self-inflicted. And as much as people try to say it's not a football issue, there's all kinds of reports from inside the football, the athletic department, that she's been kind of a pain in the butt. I think that also, I mean, the reason he's at UNC is because he wasn't getting the more high-profile opportunities, either in the NFL or in college.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he walks away from that UNC job, it might as well be like he's retiring from football coaching. Because he was already a guy that people gave the side eye to, and they were really skeptical of, like, I don't want to bring in everything that is going to come with you.
Yeah.
And now on top of that, we've got personal drama to boot. Yeah. No thank you, sir.
I think if he were to do that, if he were to cut a check for $1 million, that's the case Florio makes. It's like Bill Belichick cutting a check for $1 million to get out from underneath this new job he has at North Carolina, which he may or may not be enjoying. We have no idea. That going back into media could be a possibility. I thought he was good. I thought he was really good. I was a little surprised he got back into coaching. You know, a lot of times that happens with these guys. They get into, happened with Van Gundy for a long time on basketball. It happened with Gruden for a long time with the Monday Night Football gig. And Belichick had a nice thing going, man. Like, he picked his three or four different things that he did throughout the, he was on Inside the NFL, and he's doing McAfee, and he's doing this. He had like three or four different things. With, I would imagine, a way, way, way dialed back workload compared to coaching either at North Carolina or in the NFL. That would be the one thing I could see. Like, if he's like, all right, this wasn't what I thought it would be. My relationship with Jordan is more important than my relationship with my employer. Yeah. And none of these TV or media outlets care that she's hanging around or whatever. I don't know. I don't see him paying $1 million check to go coach somewhere else. I could see him cutting $1 million check just to get out of the headache of being 73 years old and dealing with all the drama. You know?
Well, and that's really what it comes down to is I think he just – loves coaching. That's what I mean. Like, it's not like he's the classic guy that, you know, worked 18 hours a day and never complained about it or acted like he was a victim because these coaches' hours are so hard,
right,
or what have you. He just loves it.
Yeah.
And most people who are really, really good at something, who really, really love it, I don't know, most or a lot, they don't step away from it because they've lost the love for it. They've either lost their fastball or they can't physically keep up with all the things that they used to do to be so great.
Yeah.
So I guess I wouldn't look at him. I don't think he would find broadcasting as an enticing alternative to coaching.
Yeah.
But he might come to the conclusion that, all right, you know what? I just don't have it in me anymore to deal with all this BS.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've got this other option.
The soft landing.
I'll go and do that.
Yeah. Soft landing.
Like the work hours and everything. I don't think there's any part of Belichick that's like, I just want to get to the day when I don't have to work so much. I think he just genuinely loves working that much.
I can totally see that. I think you're right about that for sure. Text message. Here's the deal. Oh, I love text to begin with that. Here's the deal. Scoring, talking about the Rockets, they've got Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore. Overall, they have a bunch of potential superstars for the future. Just give the team time. Every year they're getting better. Why trade half the team for an older player that might or might not help them, while giving another team great young players? Run it back with what you have and give the rookies some playing time. I think there's a middle ground. I think there's a middle ground in between the absurd package that The Athletic was proposing for Giannis and doing nothing. You know, I think there's a more nuanced conversation to have about it.
All right. Antetokounmpo is all of a sudden 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought he was older, you know, to be honest.
He'll turn 31 next year.
Yeah.
I knew if I had thought about it, but he'll perpetually be in his upper 20s to me, because to admit it that he's not is me getting old.
Is you getting
old?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, look, the whole, hey, they'll get better next year. You just got to be really careful with that line of thinking, because that's not the way that it works. And it's that when you've got the right opportunity to add talent from the outside, by all means, go for it. But it's always got to be at the right price. You don't want to be doing it desperately.
Yep.
But, you know, topping things off and adding a cherry on top, especially when you have all these draft picks, you don't need to be desperate for it, but when the right opportunity presents itself, and sometimes teams, like with it, like the James Harden team is the ultimate example, is they just offer up something for a really good price and then you pounce on that.
Yep.
So I think that if I had to handicap it, I don't think they make a big move, because I don't think the Rafael Stone sees the price that he likes, mm-hmm, in free agency or in trade. I think Durant ends up getting something more than what the Rockets are willing to give up, even if they would really enjoy having Kevin Durant on the team.
I can see that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Appreciate everybody weighing in. 713-572-4610. Up next, how's the new marriage going with D'Amico Ryans and his new offensive coordinator, Nick Caley? D'Amico spoke about that at rookie minicamp on Friday. You'll want to hear what the Texans head coach had to say coming up next.